fans, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA's Sonny Young. Welcome to a special World Cup edition of the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. It's the 14th day of action at the International Football Festival in Russia, and the field for the knockout stage will not include defending champion Germany. The Germans were eliminated Wednesday by South Korea, which got late goals from YG Kim and HM Sun to win 2-0 in Kazan, Russia. Meanwhile, in the other Group F match, Sweden defeated Mexico 3-0 in Yekaterinburg, Russia. Ludwig Augustinsson and team captain Andreas Granqvist had second-half goals, and Mexico's Edson Alvarez had an own goal in the 74th minute. Sweden and Mexico finished with 6 points each, and both teams now go through to the knockout round. South Korea finished with 3 points, while Germany, surprisingly, finished dead last in the group standings with 3 points behind the South Koreans on goal difference. With Germany's elimination, how about another fun World Cup fact for our VOA listeners? I got this one from Shaka Sali, our Straight Talk Africa host, right before coming into the studio. The last team to win back-to-back World Cup titles was Brazil, which did it in 1958 and 1962. The Brazilians, winners of a record 5 World Cup trophies, will play Serbia at 1800 UTC Wednesday in Moscow. And at the same time, Switzerland will go against Costa Rica in Nizhny Novgorod, Russia. Brazil and Switzerland top Group E with 4 points each, followed by Serbia with 3 points, and Costa Rica has been eliminated with no points. In World Cup results Tuesday, Croatia defeated Iceland 2-1, the Croatians top Group D with the maximum 9 points, and will play Denmark Sunday in the knockout round. The Danes played to a scoreless draw with France. The French, the 1998 World Cup champions, finished first in Group C with 7 points. In two more matches Tuesday, Peru beat Australia 2-0, and Argentina eliminated Nigeria 2-1 in St. Petersburg on a late goal from Manchester United defender Marcos Rojo. Argentina moves on to play France Saturday in the round of 16. For reaction to Argentina's victory over Nigeria, let's go to St. Petersburg and reporter Stefan Lovgren. Stefan, welcome back to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great to be back.
Stefan, heartbreak for the Super Eagles of Nigeria, escape act for Argentina. Your thoughts on Argentina's 2-1 victory?
Heartbreak indeed for Nigeria. They were just minutes away from a draw against one of the superpowers in world football, and a draw that would have put them through to the second round. It was a game probably higher on excitement than quality for the most part, but in all honesty, I think that Nigeria should have won it. I think in the first half, Argentina was the better team. It was a much improved Argentina from the first two games that they've played, with Lionel Messi buzzing about with real intent. Every time the Argentinians had the ball, they were looking for him. In previous games, they'd given him the ball right away. Here, they had the patience to wait the first, second, maybe even third pass to give it to Messi. And it seemed like there was much more balance to the Argentinian team. Nigeria didn't play badly in the first half, I thought. They were well organized in defense, but it's hard to defend against such brilliance as what Lionel Messi produced with that goal in the 14th minute. I mean, it was an act of absolute magnificence.
That goal by Messi was the 100th at this World Cup in Russia. What about Argentina's escape act goal from Marcos Rojo, Stefan?
That came obviously very late in the game. I thought that before then was really a game of two halves, because Argentina was the better team in the first half, but it was a much improved Nigeria that came out in the second and got that early penalty in the second half, and that really changed the dynamic of the game. Suddenly, Argentina was back to being the Argentina that we've seen in the first two games, where they looked completely bereft of ideas and disorganized, and Nigeria really should have taken advantage of that. Argentina had much of the possession, probably about two-thirds of the possession, but Nigeria were the ones that were creating the more dangerous chances. And perhaps there was a little bit of naivete on the Nigerian part going forward. Odion Ighalo had a couple of very good chances and should have perhaps scored and won the game for Nigeria. And when Argentina scored that goal in with just minutes left in regular time, it almost came out of the blue.
And Rojo, of course, scored against Nigeria 4 years ago, Stefan. Really a villain in the eyes of Nigerian fans.
Yes. So, of course, Nigeria has lost to Argentina now. Is it five times or six times?
I think it's five. I think you're right. Five times at the World Cup.
Nigeria has lost to Argentina now five times. This was clearly the biggest heartbreak of them all. They were so close.
I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to a special World Cup edition of the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. I'm talking with Stefan Lovgren. He is at St. Petersburg Stadium in Russia. Watching the match on television, Stefan, I saw Diego Maradona in the stands. What was the crowd like there at St. Petersburg Stadium?
We saw Maradona also on our screens here in the press box, and saw him making some obscene gestures also, which was not a nice thing to see. But the atmosphere here in the stadium was absolutely magnificent. I don't think I've ever seen a stadium. It's hard to think of a game that I've been to here at the World Cup, at least, even with the Russia game, with one set of fans outnumbering the other as much as the Argentinians did with the Nigerians today. There was a sprinkling of Nigerian fans here and there when there was a band doing their best to make themselves heard. But frankly, it was an impossible task. The Argentinians were so loud and making this place an absolute cauldron. And when they scored that goal in the final minute, I mean, the roof just came off the St. Petersburg Stadium.
Stefan, with the ouster of the Super Eagles of Nigeria, Africa's hopes for a berth in the knockout round now lie with the Lions of Teranga from Senegal. They play Colombia on Thursday. How do you see that match?
I think that Senegal has a very good chance against Colombia in the final group match. I think they should have beaten Japan. They made it very hard for themselves by not doing that. And now it all comes down to a final game against Colombia, who looked very good in their win against Poland. It is a shame that we just have this one African team left when Nigeria has, I think that Nigeria has acquitted themselves very well in the end, and they just came up a little short. They were dealt a very tough draw here, you have to remember. Croatia, with three wins in the group, have proven that they were the best team in the group, and Argentina has what most people would say is the best player in the world in their team. So I would have liked to have seen Nigeria go further. I would have liked to have seen Morocco go further. I think that Morocco also did a very good job here at the World Cup. But now it does come down to Senegal. And Senegal has a very balanced team. They have a strong defense. They have a hard-working midfield. And they also have some real firepower up front. And I think for Africa's sake, I think we all hope that they will go through.
I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to a special World Cup edition of the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. I'm talking with Stefan Lovgren. He is at St. Petersburg Stadium in Russia. Stefan, what about the Super Eagles and their future? I've heard some people say this team should be kept intact for the 2022 World Cup. Your thoughts?
Yes. Nigeria has the youngest team at this World Cup. I think that this is not only the team, but with Nigerian football organization having improved, the administration having improved, I think we're going to see a lot more of this team, a lot of more great things from this team, starting with the African Cup of Nations next year, if they can keep these players together, and there's no reason why they shouldn't, although there's a couple of players such as John Obi Mikel, of course, the captain, who had a great game, a great second half, who may not be around for the next World Cup. But I think we are seeing the emergence of a really strong young Nigerian team that is really exciting to watch. And I think that we're just going to see a lot more great things from them.
Stefan, thank you very much for chatting with us.
Great to be with you, Sonny.
That's reporter Stefan Lovgren, and he was talking with me from St. Petersburg, Russia. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to a special World Cup edition of the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Reporter Iron Mike Mbonye watched the Nigeria-Argentina match at a public fan viewing center near Lagos, and Iron Mike joins us now. Good evening, Iron Mike.
Good evening, Sonny Young. This is Iron Mike Mbonye. I'm at the viewing center in Gowon Estate, Egbeda suburb of Lagos, and the match is over. I want to seek the opinion of some Nigerians on those who watched the match today. Nigeria lost to Argentina by 2-1. What's your name?
My name is Eze.
And what's your reaction, especially as it had to do with officiating?
I think the officiating is balanced, especially with this VAR technique now that we are using. There is a few opportunity for people to cheat, and then when the case is more contentious, the referee is called. So far so good. I see the officiating being a balanced one.
My name is Emoji.
Nigeria has just lost Argentina. What's your reaction? What's your take?
Very, very sad. It's a sad thing, but we thank God that we did well. We went there, we did our best, we played our best, but our best was just enough for us.
Anything about officiating?
Yeah, the officiating was really, really, really to me, as a Nigerian, was really biased. That ball was supposed to be a penalty after checking the, but he didn't give it to us. That's preferable for you. Sometimes it happens. That's why it's football.
My name is Oji Ike Choko.
Your take on the match, Nigeria-Argentina?
Not a bad game. Officiating to me was fair enough. The thing there is that the Nigeria team went for a defensive kind of play. We should have gone all out to score. But we played a kind of football that is so much defensive. We wanted to get a draw. We didn't go all out for a win. If we had gone out for a win, I think we might have ended up for a draw. But not a bad, that's the way football goes sometimes. Either you win, you lose, or you draw. Today, Nigerians have lost. We just have to go back home to the drawing board as usual and see how much we can get back to the World Cup. That's all I can say. Not a bad game.
My name is Mohamed Kimeni.
How did you see the match?
The match was fair. It was a nice match. At least our boys gave their spirit. They tried. Not like all those kind of flat-footed football they play. They played well. Officiating for me, it was fair. Because people were complaining about the second penalty, that it was not to be a penalty. But the guy's hand was not in the natural position. The ball touched his head first, before touching his hand. So it was not a deliberate effort. It was not a deliberate play. So I feel it was just fair. And we lost. We lost a better team. That's what I feel.
Well, it was a good game, I think, in my own perspective. The boys actually did well. They tried their best. But superiority will always count, you know. We had some chances. We lost them. And that was it for us. We could have done better anyway. We could have done better.
Which way forward now for the Super Eagles?
Well, we have the qualifiers for African Cup of Nations. So I think we should just groom the boys. They had a good game. We can groom same boys. And let's see what we can come up with, at least to qualify for the African Cup of Nations, and then we can pick it up from there.
My name is Sunil Balogun. Actually, it was a nice game. We tried our best. I've been complaining about, I have in mind about 85 minutes. And something in my mind tells me what's going to happen after 85 minutes. So, based on the African mentality we have, the inexperience still killed us. We still let that 9 minutes still take over our football. We tried all through. I'm so proud of those boys. Just that we win some and you lose them. And so painful that we have to lose to Argentina, that they don't have anything to offer. And well, we wait for the next game. That's we wait for our World Cup, Nations Cup. We prepare for that, and I believe. And I still want them to leave the coach. He has a lot to give us. He has a lot to offer for us. But he has done no bad. Actually, his selection for the first game killed him, but he got it right later on.
All right, Sonny, from the viewing center in Gowon Estate, Egbeda suburb of Lagos. This is your reporter, Ayom Mike Mbonye, sending it back to Sonny Young. Sporty greetings to you, Sonny.
And sporty greetings to you, Iron Mike. That's reporter Iron Mike Mbonye, who talked with Nigerian football fans near Lagos. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to a special World Cup edition of the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Meanwhile, reporter Prince Nesta watched the Nigeria-Argentina match at the Lucky Bar in Washington, D.C. Here's Prince.
All right, so your quick thoughts about the match.
It was a match of the seventh half on the Nigerian side. We didn't play very well in the first half. I think that the coach made an important substitution at the halftime, bringing in Ighalo for Iheanacho, who wasn't playing well, but our boys lost their legs at the end. Argentina were attacking too much. They were trying to obviously advance, and we were tired. We were 10 minutes away from advancing. So, you know, they played the best they could in the second half. I wish we were a little bit more aggressive in the first half.
It's a tough loss. That's all I can tell you. There's no reason you should have started Iheanacho. It was there.
Extremely disappointing. The ref was quite biased, in my opinion. I think that there was a few fouls and free kicks and penalties that we earned that we just didn't get.
I think the biggest thing today was that we struggled in the midfield. I thought that our team was very weak in the midfield the first two matches, so I thought that we would be stronger. And we actually were in a lot of stretches, but we needed to keep the ball better, particularly at the end. I think that we got the goal and we kind of fell back into our shell instead of keeping the ball when in control of the match and, you know, letting them run around while we kind of keep our legs together. And that cost us at the end when we got tired.
I don't know. I don't know what to say, man. It's crazy. So disappointed right now. Argentina, you can see them pushing, and Nigeria was just defending, so.
What does this mean for the African continent now?
We're still a long ways to go. I think that the way we play soccer is fine, but I think that we need to be a little bit more tactical.
I don't know. I'm disappointed, but at the same time, like, I'm a little bit hopeful because I feel like this was a big moment for the country and for the continent.
It means once again, nobody makes it past quarterfinals. Senegal will probably make it to the quarterfinals, but I don't see us advancing beyond that, unfortunately.
The Senegalese team is going to be playing. What's like your message to them?
Play your game. Always. The biggest thing is always play your game. I think that sometimes African nations, they get coaches that don't understand their players that well and they don't play their game. Senegal has very good players, very technical players. Play your game and you should be successful.
Win.
I don't care what you do. On goal, backflip. Just get the ball in the net. Score more than they do. That's all.
We only have one team left right now playing Thursday. And I mean, it's not going to be easy, but you have to win. Or 0-0.
You got to be aggressive in the first half and the second half. You got to remember you got to play both sides of the ball. You have to be aggressive. And good luck to Senegal. Always going to support the African teams.
You've been listening to some World Cup fans at the Lucky Bar in Washington, D.C. And thanks to reporter Prince Nesta for that fan reaction. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to a special World Cup edition of the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. With more reaction to Tuesday's Nigeria-Argentina World Cup match, here's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uden. Sporty World Cup greetings, Gwen.
Sporty World Cup greetings, Sonny. Well, in a clash that could be described as the old against the young, Argentina, one of the oldest squads in this World Cup, claimed a 2-1 victory against Nigeria, the youngest squad in the tournament. Argentina was helped by Leo Messi, who came alive in the 14th minute to score Argentina's first goal. And the deal was sealed when Argentina delivered their game-winning goal in the 86th minute. Euphoric Argentine fans left St. Petersburg Stadium, relieved they made it through to the knockout stages.
I have more emotions than in my wedding. This was the most emotional. This was like a final, more than a final. I cannot express with words what all Argentinians feel in this moment. It's more than words, like the song, more than words. It was unbelievable. We thought we didn't have chances. And at the end, of course, we have the chances, and it was like a miracle.
Tuesday's loss eliminates Nigeria from the tournament. After the match, Nigerian fans expressed their heartbreak but conceded that Argentina played a better game.
Our guys should have been able to keep their focus to the very end, but they didn't. You know, they let a goal in, but it was a beautiful goal, and I think Argentina deserved it on this day.
They played well, proud of them. I really can't fault them. At the end of the day, it was a moment of magic that decided the game. So, good game. We're proud, and see you in 4 years.
Nigeria were the only African team from the last World Cup to return to this year's tournament. They bow out of their group in third place. Argentina has finished in second place behind Croatia. Argentina will go head-to-head in the round of 16 against France on Saturday. And I'll mention here that Argentine football great Diego Maradona is said to be fine. After appearing to fall ill during Tuesday's roller coaster match against Nigeria, amid the excitement, he was seen being helped to a seat, and a medical doctor suggested Maradona leave during halftime, to which he refused. He later wrote on Instagram, "I want to let you know I'm fine. I'm not, nor was I, hospitalized. A kiss for you all. Sorry for the fright. Thanks for putting up with me. Diego is around for a bit longer." Maradona attracted further attention during the match in a poor display of sportsmanship when he was seen displaying his two middle fingers, no doubt in a gesture directed towards Nigerian fans. Live cameras also caught Maradona yelling an anti-gay slur into the crowd. This comes after Mexican fans were heard chanting anti-gay insults during their match against Germany last Sunday. FIFA called the chants discriminatory and insulting, and Mexico was hit with a $10,000 fine. The Mexican Football Federation was sanctioned 12 times for homophobic chanting during their World Cup qualifying campaign. They received a warning for the first two offenses and were fined for the remaining 10. It is also being reported that female journalists covering the World Cup and female fans in attendance have faced incidents of sexism and sexual harassment in Russia. Brazilian television journalist Julia Guanares had to thwart the advance of a male passerby who attempted to kiss her during a live on-camera report.
"Don't do this. Never do this again, okay?
I'm sorry.
Don't do this. I don't allow you to do that. Never. Okay? This is not polite. This is not right. Never do this."
Julia later tweeted, "It's hard to find words. Luckily, I've never experienced this in Brazil. Here in Russia, it's happened twice already. Sad, shameful." Two more female journalists have also been assaulted while giving live reports on camera, sparking outrage among both male and female journalists across the globe. Earlier this year, female sports reporters in Brazil launched a hashtag Let Her Work campaign to take a stand against sexual harassment in the workplace. Well, hopefully these events will bring global awareness to the fact that there is still much work to be done. I'll have more World Cup news tomorrow. Back to you, Sonny.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to a special World Cup edition of the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. If you're just tuning in now to the VOA, Wednesday's World Cup results: South Korea eliminates defending champion Germany 2-0. Sweden defeats Mexico 3-0. The Swedes and the Mexicans go through to the knockout round. I'm joined by Prince Nesta. Prince, your reaction to the Germans packing their bags?
Apocalyptic. I mean, so shocking. I hope no one has suffered a heart attack in Germany. Because this is crazy. The reason why I'm saying that is they are going out of the World Cup in the first round for the first time in 80 years.
Wow.
The last time they did this was in 1938. And it's the curse of the champions. I mean, since 1998, a lot of teams that have been winning the World Cup have actually been going out of the group stage. So it's nothing new, but anyway, it's shocking. It's shocking for me.
Shocking indeed. The Germans are out of Russia 2018. And that wraps up the June 27th special World Cup edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Sule Terawali. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.
I get it.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Over the past 5 years, the Feed the Future Nigeria Livelihoods Project has helped pull some of the most vulnerable families in Nigeria out of poverty. This U.S. government foreign assistance program has helped Nigerians improve agricultural production, income generation, nutrition, and sanitation. The $22.6 million program in Nigeria began in 2013 and concluded just last month. Administered by the U.S. Agency for International Development, or USAID, and implemented by Catholic Relief Services, the program initially helped 42,000 poor households in Abuja, Nigeria's capital, Kebbi, and Sokoto states to increase agricultural production, diversify incomes, and improve nutrition. It also provided livelihoods planning skills, adult literacy and numeracy instruction, and cash transfers to the most vulnerable households. In 2017, the program expanded to Adamawa, Borno, and Yobe states, reaching 10,000 more households. This project took a holistic approach to agriculture, to livelihoods, and to social development, said USAID Mission Director Stephen Hagen. It addressed the needs of the extreme poor by improving incomes and reducing vulnerabilities, and in this way serving as a model for efforts to build resilience in rural Nigeria. The USAID program introduced new technology, improving agricultural production and access to input markets such as quality seeds for smallholder farmers. As a result, crop yields doubled for more than 33,000 farmers. The program also helped farmers to reduce post-harvest losses. The activity engaged poor households in the rural economy by providing business skills and financial literacy support, vocational trainings and lending schemes, and safe spaces for adolescent girls. Additionally, more than 2,000 community workers were trained to deliver over 1.5 million counseling and group sessions on nutrition that led to a 22% drop in stunting, 10% drop in wasting, and 53% increase in exclusive breastfeeding rates in targeted locations. A cash transfer component alone helped lift 2,740 households out of poverty. State and local governments have shown positive support towards sustaining the gains from the program. The U.S. is proud to work with its partner Nigeria to improve the lives of the Nigerian people.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, decentralized systems of governments in Africa. In Uganda, it's called decentralization. In Kenya, devolution. In Nigeria and Ethiopia, it's called federalism. The transfer of authority from central to local government on the next Straight Talk Africa at 18:30 UTC.
What's up, Africa? I'm Jackson Bungani in Washington.
And I'm Nadia Sami. Thanks for joining us. We'd love to have you on board. This is Upfront on the Voice of America.
Listen, we need to discuss what's going on in your communities, issues that affect you.
Are you involved?
Are you engaged in transforming your society?
Today, right now, this is your platform.
Let us know what you've been up to.
Check us out on Facebook. Drop us a line.
It's Upfront Wednesdays at 17:30 UTC
right here on VOA Africa.
Along with typical agricultural equipment like tractors, balers, and harvesters, farmers of today are also depending on modern technology such as computers, wireless communications, and satellites to produce a high yield of crops. Hi, I'm Rick Pantaleo. I'll be talking with three agricultural experts about the high-tech evolution of farming on the next science edition of Press Conference USA. Be sure to listen this Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Hearty greetings to all our VOA listeners. This is Sonny Young, host of The Sunny Side of Sports. Please join me at 1630 and 1830 UTC, Monday through Friday, for special World Cup updates during the month-long football festival in Russia. Right here on The Voice of America.